Baptist Camp Meeting. It has been our privilege and honor to have Brother Larry Winkler, the pastor of Blue Ridge Baptist Church in Lenoir, North Carolina. I want you to hear this man of God gladly. Who knows whose life is in the balance and the need that needs to be supplied? You listen to God's man, you pray for him, and you open up your heart to God's word. I love you, preacher.
You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 1. And I do want to again express my gratitude for the privilege to be a part of these services. The Lord has blessed me, allowed me to be here since Monday morning, and I certainly have received much, much help from the Lord through all these dear men of God that had preached. And of course, I would be foolish to try to name them all. But they, every man that stood in this place has spoken to my heart from the Word. I do appreciate Brother Dan preaching each morning. Of course, the first two mornings, he just directed spiritual traffic. And then Wednesday, he took us to feel the heart throb of the Father. And then he let us see the wheel that the Father had the prodigal on. And this morning we saw baby faith. And so he certainly has been a blessing. I love this dear man. And as some of you know, Brother Dana and Esther were the first couple I ever married. And I think I was more nervous than they were. I've been preaching a long time, but that's the first wedding I ever performed. And I didn't tell you, Brother Dan, I forgot to send the marriage license in. And I appreciate Brother Steve's. It's been such a blessing. Just amazes me as how the Lord helps him. He seems to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. And that's because God has put him in this place. And we certainly do thank God for him and for his ministry and his labors. Not only here in the Calvary Baptist Church, but across this country. And I certainly do appreciate the wonderful singing, all those that have sung and blessed their hearts. And then Brother Jordan always does a wonderful job in leading the music and the singing. And it's evident that the hand of God is upon him. But thank you so much just for allowing me to be a part of these services. I'm humbled, and I know that there are some great men in this service tonight that could do far better than I can, but nevertheless, I have this privilege tonight. And I do appreciate Brother Lockie. It's good to see him. I'm grateful he's able to be with us. Yes, sir. I met Brother James 58 years ago. He was preaching and praising God, and he's still preaching and praising God. And we certainly do love him, and we miss Miss Margaret, and we look forward to seeing her again over in Emmanuel's land, and Brother Rule, and of course our hearts go out to the Fox family. But when we see Jesus smile, it will be worth every mile of the way. Like a happy pilgrim who's arrived on the shore, we will forget the storms and the trials that are behind us. I just thank you for allowing me to be here this week. Genesis chapter 24. Very familiar verses to Bible readers and believers. Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house of the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And then verse 14. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed me for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. It came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair, and to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down the well, and filled up her pitcher, and came up. And then in verse number 57 of the same chapter. And they said, we will call the damsel, and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And the servants blessed, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said to the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence tonight. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, every action, every attitude. Lord, whatever about me that's not Christ-like or becoming as a child of God, I pray that you'll cleanse me. We're grateful, Lord, that the same blood that saved us and cleansed us initially provides daily cleansing. Thank you for the meeting, the camp meeting these 2 weeks. Thank you for what you've done in hearts and lives and what you'll continue to do. Thank you for every man of God that has stood in this place and blessed our hearts with the word, and those that have sung and lifted up our hearts in worship and praise and gratitude to God. Thank you for Brother Steve, and I pray that you'll continue to give him physical strength and spiritual anointing and heavenly wisdom as he does all the work that you've called him to do. Thank you for him. Thank you for the influence that you've given him. And thank you for how you've used him and are using him across our country. I pray, Lord, for every man of God that is here, thank you for them. And I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. I pray, Lord, that you will bless especially Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you for them, for their kindness and being so gracious, and for all the meals and the work and so many things that they have done. We thank you, Lord, for their labors and for those that have helped them. I pray, Lord, now that you will be pleased to touch thy servant. Pray that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, that the Spirit of God shall have his way in our hearts. And when we leave tonight, may we be aware again that God has spoken to us and that God has said something to our hearts. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses in Genesis chapter 24. As I said, these are familiar scriptures to those of you who read the Bible. But I want to speak to you about bringing in the bride. I am so grateful that I'm a part of the Lord's church. And because I'm a part of the Lord's church, I'm a member of a local church. God works through the church. If revival comes, as I've already said, it will come through the church. Jesus said to Peter, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, but upon this rock, upon myself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians 5 says of those of us that are saved and a part of the bride, we're members of His body, of His bones, and of His flesh. You can't get any closer than that. Colossians says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And of course, you'll notice in these verses the intention of a father. It was Abraham who took the initiative and sent his servant to seek out a bride for his son. Some have the idea that Jesus died, and that because He died on the cross, that He was able to convince His Father to save us. But the truth is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jeremiah said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That is from eternity to eternity. And it was the love of God that brought Jesus down to this planet to bear our sins in His own body. Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It is the Father's desire, it is the Father's purpose that His Son one day will be presented a bride. And I've noticed in Ephesians 5 just recently something that I never thought about, that the Lord is going to present the church to Himself. He's going to present it as a bride without spot, without wrinkle, because there's no one else worthy to do it. There's no one else qualified. Now, most of the time in the wedding, a father or a friend gives the bride away. But in this case, the Lord Jesus Himself, the bridegroom, gives the bride away. He died for. He paid the debt of sin. And He's going to present to Himself a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. And I am so grateful to be a part of the Lord's church. And you may get tired of hearing me say, but I'm certainly not ashamed to be identified with the church. He loves the church. He died for the church. He's coming for the church. And it's through the church that the Lord has put His power. It is the intention of the Father to one day have this bride presented by His Son to Himself without spot, without wrinkle. They didn't search through heaven to find a Savior. He's the only one worthy. He's the only one qualified to be the Savior of man. Genesis 23:2, we read, and Sarah died in Kath Arba. And then in Genesis 22:23, just three verses before, and we read, and Bethuel begat Rebekah in one part of the world while a lady was dying, who is of course precious to the heart of Isaac. Sarah died in Kath Arba, but at the same time, Bethuel begat Rebekah. At the moment Sarah was dying, Rebecca was being born, who had become his bride and the love of his life. When one saint passes off the scene, God raises up another. Of course, you don't replace the people of God. Every person has their own distinct personality. And we miss those that have left us, that are now in the presence of the Lord. And I'm sure that when you think about the beginning of this camp meeting, you could fill many tabernacles with a crowd of people that are already there. They sit where we sit. They have rejoiced like we rejoice. And they have preached and sung. But now they're actually in the presence of the Lord Himself. And that will be a reality in my life. I do not know when the wheels of mortal life shall stand still. But I do know that I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Israel is always referred to symbolically as God's wife. And the church is the bride of Christ. And Sarah, of course, represents the nation of Israel, while Rebekah represents the bride. Romans 8:29 says that all things work together for those that love God. Verse 28 of Romans 8 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, then did He also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, those He predestinated, those He called. And those He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. He uses the word glorified in the past tense, as if it already happened. You and I are not yet glorified, of course, but we will be. And it's just a matter of time. Just as sure as God foreknew us before He laid the mud seals of the world, and just as He's predestined us to be just like His darling Son, and as sure as He's called us, and as certain as He has justified us, He will glorify us. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan. And it shall come to pass. God saw His bride in eternity past. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and He shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after skin my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. It is with my soul that I worship God. The soul is unseen, but it's a soul that responds to God. You've heard that expression, I haven't seen a soul all day. That's right, we've never seen a soul. But every person that has a body has a soul. And someday this soul shall be leaving this body and shall behold Christ in all of His glory. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that His feet shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Then you'll notice the revelation of a servant. And his authority was that Eliezer, it does not call him a name, but probably it was Eliezer, who is a steward in the household of Abraham. He looked after the domestic affairs of Abraham. And I remind you that he, the Holy Spirit, is God. Now some have the idea that it's God the Father here, God the President, God the Son, the second, the Vice President, and God the Holy Ghost, the second Vice President. But the truth is, when you deal with the Father, you're dealing with God, the President. When you're dealing with the Son, you're dealing with the president. When you deal with the Holy Ghost, you're dealing with the president. Three in one, one in three. Explain it, I can't, but it's true. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He, the Holy Spirit, is God. And we can't even worship without the Holy Spirit. Vance Havner once said, when you see these churches lighting the candles, you know the power's out. I am grateful for the Spirit of God that helps us to worship. And I think He's helped us to worship this week. If not, Brother Dan, I think we came close to it. It's a wonderful thing for the Spirit of God to touch our hearts and respond to God. We all respond in different ways. Some of us laugh, some of us cry, some of us run, some of us just feel plumb good all over. But if God is in your heart, you respond to God. And don't you praise the Lord for this wonderful praise team at the Taylorsville camp meeting. Now, who is the praise team? Is it Brother Jordan? Of course, it's not Brother Jordan or Brother Steve. But the praise team is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He lives in my heart. And when He touches me, I know what to do. I don't need some human to wave a wand or something to tell me what to do. Thank God, when the Holy Ghost has come, we will know how to worship. He, the Holy Ghost, is God. And without Him, we cannot worship. The Holy Spirit of God, His assignment was to find a bride for Isaac. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in this world. Seeking a bride. No man, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father, which has sent me, shall draw him. And I certainly agree with Brother Dana that all of our methods and tricks will not get people to God, but He must work in the heart. And He must work in the life. He from death to life hath brought me. And no one but the Spirit of God. Raise those that are dead in trespasses and sin. The Holy Ghost is in this world to convict and to convince of sin and to point sinners to the Savior. Of course, this servant had prayed, Lord, the woman that comes, the young girl that comes, she's called a damsel. And this young girl that comes, let her give my camels water and me water also. Now, of course, this servant had 10 camels with him. And we're told that one camel can drink about 5 gallons of water. I think that's about what I've done this week. But one camel can drink 5 gallons of water. So that means that she'd have to draw 50 gallons of water, draw it out of the well, and then pour it. But he knew no sooner prayed that than here she came, this young damsel named Rebecca. And of course, he knew then that she was the one. As she goes home with Rebecca to her family, the first thing he does is reveal the things of Isaac. I'm sure before he would even grace the table or tell him his errand, the first thing that he did was to brag about Isaac. He's handsome. He's desirable. He's got land. I was in Texas a few weeks ago and had a meal with one of the members after the service. And I said, how many acres do you own? And he said, 5,000. That's a lot of land. And here he is in the house of Bethuel with Rebecca. And Rebecca, of course, had answered the prayer in that she gave the camels water. But you note, as she talks to Eliezer, that I'm sure that Eliezer is revealing the things of Isaac about his miraculous birth. He was miraculously born. Abraham and Sarah were well stricken in age when Isaac was born. And I'm sure he must have told them about his trip to Mount Moriah, how he was laid out on the altar of sacrifice. And Abraham had his knife lifted to slay his son. But just before his trembling hand could reach the bosom of Isaac, God said, as a ram caught in the thicket, God provided himself a lamb. And here he is telling about Isaac. And I'm sure he must have told him that he's handsome, he's desirable, and he's looking for a bride. And I remind you tonight that it's still the old, old story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story, so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. And as he described Isaac, I'm sure that her heart burned within her just to behold Isaac. And so you know the compulsion of a damsel. Of course, Eliezer had already given her gifts, and he gave her some more gifts as well. You remember that Eliezer found her at a well, and that's where he found us. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is through the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus. And she was asked the question, without go, an urgent question that must be answered. Her family said, give her 10 days. But, of course, that's always the attitude of the devil. Wait, wait. But I remind you, tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded soul. Oh, then be wise. Be saved tonight. Without go with this man. And Rebekah said, I will go. And the servant gave her some more jewelry from the land of Canaan. She believed a person that she'd never before met. The Holy Spirit of God, of course, revealed Christ to us. And by faith, we received him as Lord and as Savior. And we did receive him. As many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. And we were able to repent and receive and believe because he, the Spirit of God, did that work of conviction in our heart. And we saw ourselves as a sinner. I don't remember what I prayed the night the Lord saved me. But Brother Steve, I knew two things. Number one, that I was a sinner. And that Jesus is the only Savior. And by faith, I looked to the Lamb of God. And she allowed this servant to lead her to a far country. Engaged to a man she'd never seen before. She'd just heard about. And then, of course, the servant opens up a bag of jewels and shows her even more of the riches of Christ. When the Lord saved us, he clothed us with a raiment, a spotless robe. You don't see it, but I wear it. And I would not think about or even dare stand before the Lord without being clothed in his righteousness. He became sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And that night when the Lord saved me, as I've said it over and over, and I hope I don't bore you, but it's on that April night, 1958, Brother Curtis, the heavenly man, went to his heavenly wardrobe and found a name on it. My name, Larry Winkler. And the grace of God winged its way past sunrises and sunsets, came to planet Earth, Whitnall, North Carolina, stripped away my filthy rags of unrighteousness and clothed me in the righteousness of the Son of God. You don't see it, but I wear it. I stand before him in his own righteousness. And then, lastly, briefly, you noticed expectation of a son. Now, of course, Isaac had disappeared from the scene ever since the time of Mount Moriah. And we don't see him anymore until we see him in this chapter, in the field, in the eventide. Isaac had been to Moriah, and the work was done. God spared Abraham's son, but he spared not his own son. And then he had disappeared until the 24th chapter. The first mention in Genesis 22 is the love of the father for the son. Abraham loved Isaac. And then the love of the son is mentioned for the bride. When they were married, he loved her. And she became his bride. And the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the debt of sin. He did die. He died in my place. He died in my stead. And as I've said, I love that old hymn and that verse, "My sin, not the part, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. And all that I am or ever shall be, in the grace of God, I owe to Jesus Christ." I can imagine that they traveled at night, or traveled by day and slept at night. Now remember that Rebecca was from the desert, from a far country. And I'm sure that when she would hear a bear growl or a lion roar, because there were bears and lions in Israel in those days, in that part of the world, and she would cover face with her cover and say to herself, "I'll be devoured. Some bear will eat me. Some lion will claw me to death." But whenever fear would strike her heart, she would look at that old servant and say, "He knows. He won't let the bears eat me. He won't let the lions get me. He knows the way from the house of Bethuel all the way to the tents of Mamre." And I can imagine as they traveled during the day, sandstorms would come up. The sand would burn in her eyes. And Rebecca would get off the camel and say to herself, "I'll never make it. I'll never see Isaac. I'll be devoured." But I imagine that servant getting some more jewelry out of the handbag and saying, "Rebecca, this came from the promised land." And Rebecca says, I feel like traveling on. Giddy up, camel. How old, silver? And there she goes for the glory of God. Sometimes in our Christian life, God just drops tokens of His grace and His goodness down on us. Some years ago, I resigned the church, left the church where I pastored 14 years. And I was flying to Texas for a meeting, and I usually left from Charlotte, but because it's about $100 or $200 cheaper, I drove to Asheville, flew back to Charlotte, and got on the same plane. And as I was going up the mountain, I was, of course, feeling down. And the devil just whispered in my ears, or maybe not the devil. I'm not such a threat to the devil that he has to take a whole day off of me. But I'm sure one of his demons, anyhow, said, "I guess you know, Brother Winkler, or Mr. Winkler, you'll starve to death. And you're not going to make it." And I got to the airport, checked in. And of course, those days, you could just walk through without all the security, no Gestapo at the airport in those days. But I went up to the desk, and the agent said, looked at me and said, "Larry Winkler, I know you. I've heard you preach before, and you're a great blessing to me." And so I got my ticket, went, sat on my plane, my seat back past the wing somewhere, the tourist section, because it's cheaper. And I just had got set down, and had a briefcase, of course, carrying my Bibles and books. And I looked up, and there was that agent. And he had a ticket. He said, "Brother Larry, I want you to fly first class. And you just follow me." And so he picked up my briefcase, and I followed him. And I'm sure people looking at me must have thought, "Who's he? He must have been an ambassador or somebody." Well, I am an ambassador for Christ. And he set me down in the very front seat. And I heard him say to one of the stewardesses, flight attendants, That's Larry Winkler. I'm sure she knew me. That's Larry Winkler. Take care of him. And I got buckled up, but I thought to myself, I'm afraid I'm about to run. I mean, Mr. Devil, you told me a while ago I'd starve to death. You swell telling me God's gone, but here I am flying first class. I've never flown first class. And thank God every now and then, he just drops a heavenly nugget down. His mercies are new every morning. He just reminds us, thank God that I'm his. He is mine forever. One day, Rebecca crosses the last valley. Goes up the last mountain. Probably over the rim region of Mount Nebo. Had the privilege once to stand on Mount Nebo. I think I was with Brother Lockie then. And when we got there, the mountain was covered with clouds. But then the fog lifted. And on a clear day, you can see all the way across the beautiful Jordan Valley, the winding Jordan River, the hills of Zion, and in the distance, the Mediterranean Sea. I'm sure that Rebecca said, "Sir, let me dismount. I've never seen that. These beautiful mountains that surround us are always amazing to me. And sometimes, Brother Steve, when I get home from flat country, I can't help but weep when I see the mountains." And she climbs the last mountain, starts down to meet Isaac. She sees a man walking in the field. And she says to that servant, "Who is this man that cometh to meet us?" And the servant said, "That's him. That's him. That's my master. That's him." And she went inside the tent and was married. And I want to praise God that someday that faith shall give way to sight. When this old body lies smoldering in the grave, then in a newer, sweeter song, I'll be singing his power to save. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. There will come a glad day after a while, someday, somewhere in the wonderful providence of God, he will call us home, either by death or by the rapture, face to face with Christ my Savior. What will it be? Oh, that will be glory when we behold him, Pastor.